AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Friday. And yes, I'm live in studio. We are not taped today. We are not, it's not one of the shows there that we've had, but we are actually here in studio. Eric is with me today. Hi, Eric.
Hey, Matt.
Those have been fantastic. I've actually heard from more than a few people about how much they've enjoyed the interviews that we've been doing with the brand new to you shows. We have three more for you coming up here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of next week. Monday we got the Stein Show where we recap 2018 through his cruddy Iowa phone.
Yeah,
nice Skype connection, Iowa. It's like, how is it that I can talk to, like, the moon better than Iowa? How is that possible? Anyway, we got Jeff coming up on Monday. We have a replay. Our only replay is on New Year's Day of the Durenberger-Peter Callahan show. If you didn't hear Dave Durenberger, my goodness, was that a spectacular interview with him, the former Republican senator who basically, he's got a brand new book out, When Republicans Were Progressives. And it was just it just talking about how, and he very squarely puts it on Newt Gingrich, and that Newt Gingrich was where things changed, and it was Newt Gingrich's fault to where we're at here at this point today. And it's a very interesting interview. And of course, Callahan had a very good recap of Minnesota politics. We'll have that show on New Year's Day, and then on the second, another brand new to you show before we're back here on Thursday of next week with the live show. So looking forward to that. Did you have a nice holiday, Eric?
I had a great holiday, Matt.
Did you?
Yeah.
And, were you off a few days there? Were you able to get a few days off?
Yeah, I think I had 5 days in off, so it was a pretty nice relaxing period.
I'm presuming a few of those days then were before Christmas.
Yeah, I think all of them, but like one.
All right, the days I've had off here. Mm-hmm. Granted, this is probably a good chunk of this is my own fault. I took days off prior to Christmas with needing to get stuff done for the holidays, and so even though I was taking days off, I really didn't have vacation time.
Yeah, that kind of sucks out all the leisure from it.
Oh God, Sunday I think I had to go to 3 stores. And just, you know, how are you at 10 o'clock in the morning? How are you that I'm just waiting for someone to pull out? And I'm not even waiting for someone who is, like, walking to their car. They got the reverse lights out. They're backing up. Clearly, I'm going to pull into this parking spot. How are you honking your horn at me after waiting 10 seconds? Seriously, what is wrong with you? You need to stop. Relax. Dear goodness, my God. God, oh.
Yeah, should be at least 3 p.m. before you're that aggressive.
Yeah, and then, of course, the last few days have been nice. Got out to the Science Museum, got to the Minnesota Zoo yesterday, which was always nice. Got to do the bird show out there. We like the birds. They're pretty. And so, it was a good time. Had a good time. The kids went out and saw Mary Poppins. They said it was long. So the kids, you know, have you seen the original Mary Poppins? There's like about half of that movie you could cut out of it and you'd probably be fine.
Yeah.
And I love that movie. That movie's a great movie.
I remember liking it as a kid, but definitely there were a lot of scenes where I was like, no.
Do we need to go back to the top of the guy who's clearly got post-traumatic stress syndrome from his battle days up on top of the house with a cannon? By the way, anyone else problem with the guy having large ordnance on top of his house? I would have a problem with large ordnance being on top of my neighbor's house. Just saying. But apparently they copied the formula. There you go. I told them Aquaman, fish dude, fighting in water. They didn't gonna go with that. That's fine. That's on you. Speaking of fish people fighting for water, you know, with the New Year's, we're going to have a lot of people going to the gym again. I have no idea how that all connects. But you're going back to the gym. That means, and that's good. I mean, I would say this, that if this is what gets you over the hump, if this was what, you know, gets you to make that change in your life, to make yourself, you know, more physically fit, good for you. A New Year's resolution, do it. I will give you the heads up that generally by Valentine's Day, most people that start this, stop this. And the reason why is they've come to a very shocking realization that when you watch some guy on TV who basically did this one ab exercise and look at me now, that's not how it works. and that is that dude is probably getting paid to work out 2 to 3 hours a day, 7 days a week. They eat rice and greens, and that's it. That means no chips, no sodas, no beer, no nothing. And they treat their bodies like a temple, and henceforth they look like, you know, Adonises. That is not something you are going to achieve with 3 30-minute workouts each week where you basically get up to a fast walking pace on an elliptical. Not saying that you shouldn't stay with it. I'm more saying this because I want you to stay with it. I want you to get there. I want your expectations to be real. Evaluate yourself at mid-year, not at Valentine's Day. Because, and that is, it is remarkable. I've known people that own clubs, and they say Valentine's Day, they just, it's, their feeling is they're going to get ripped and sculpted, and they realize that this is, I mean, it's a lifestyle. It's not something that they're going to be able to just do on the fly, that this is something that they don't really have the time nor the patience, and it hurts, and it's kind of tough, and you sweat, and you get tired, and you realize how out of shape you are, and it's tough. You know, don't look at it as that sort of a short-term goal. Look at it as a long-term goal, and evaluate. And don't get on a scale. Don't do anything. Just commit to the workout, whatever workout you're doing, whether that's a yoga class or aerobics class, some weight training, doing some cardio, whatever the case may be, running. Just commit to it. Don't weigh yourself, and then at mid-year, at June 30th. First of all, you'll notice if you do that. First of all, you'll notice a lot of your clothes are going to start getting real loose on you, and that's a good feeling. But then you'll really see what it takes to get to where you want to go. All right. There's my say. My main argument, though, and this is where I'm going to become nasty, Matt. Okay. For all you people out there that are at the gym, all right, wipe off your equipment when you're done with it. Don't give me this, well, I wiped it off when I got here. No. You sweated on it. You left your body waste all over it. I don't care if you were just walking. I don't care if you were running. I don't care if I don't ever see anyone. I don't care. Wipe it off after you're done. I've always felt that the people that do that are either very selfish or they just know they're just lying because I wiped it off before I started. No, I've been here. You didn't. I didn't see you wipe it off. And that's just you basically, I wiped it off beforehand. The next person can wipe it off before they get on it. No. You're a grown adult. Act like it. Stop expecting the world to wipe your caboose for you and wipe down your damn equipment when you get done with it. And I get it. You know, there's not some people don't wipe down like the free weights or anything like that. If you're not sweating profusely, you know, fine. But if you're on a cardio machine, rower, stair climber, bike, wipe the damn thing down, will ya? After you're done leaving your body waste all over it. All right? God, I clean it off before I get on. No, that's not how it works. You don't understand sweating. Let me explain. That's like the stuff that comes out of you. Now you get wet. Aquaman, come on. Wipe it down.
It's like how I wash my hands before I go to the bathroom.
Well, that's perfectly fine, as long as you're also doing it after you go to the bathroom. Well, there are people I know that do that. I'm like, I'm glad. I mean, all our bodies are temples. I mean, let's just be honest with it, you know. I don't want to, you know, are you guys clean before we get to work here, guys? Hands, are we looking clean? Do I need, all right, let's go to town. Start touching things. But then after you're done, you can wash your hands. Same premise. Exactly the same premise. 952-946-6205. As a veteran, that's right. That was at one point your first line of defense. Go Army. Anywho, as a veteran, I want to make sure I take a quick moment. 44,000 Coast Guard members, 44,000 are not getting paid in this government shutdown. Of all the armed forces, they are one, and they are an armed force. Trust me, if all of a sudden our coast was about to get invaded, the Coast Guard would show up. And that alone, the amount of rescue work that they do, the amount of patrolling that they do, the safety courses, I mean, Lake Superior, all the Great Lakes, they're out there on the Great Lakes. They're on the major rivers. They're out on the coastal areas. These are a military force. And because of some quirk in the system, which I can't quite figure out, they're not part of the, you know, we're going to still pay you. The Army gets paid. Navy gets paid. Marines get paid. Air Force gets paid. If you're in those branches of government, you are going to get paid during this government shutdown. Coast Guard's not included in that. And it doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. But right now, we have people who are patrolling our waterways, our coasts, and they're not getting paid because Donald Trump wants you, billions of dollars for a wall that Mexico is supposed to pay for. Well, first of all, once again, Donnie, you never once, not once, ever said the United States was going to pay for this. It was all going to be Mexico. And as a matter of fact, when Mexico complained about it, we're putting another 10 feet on it. Take that, Mexico. You remember that? I remember that. I remember the racist bigots all going, yay, racism, yay. I remember that. I remember an entire year of that crap. And so for you guys to now say, well, we're going to pay it and we're going to promise they're going to. First of all, you can't impose new taxes. You got a trade deal, which was basically NAFTA, that you just, erased Obama, Clinton's name off of NAFTA and re-signed, Trump's name on it. But you got a new trade deal. So you can't just impose a new tax on these people. And that's just stupid. You can't. So you need to negotiate with Mexico. If Mexico's going to pay for the wall, and that was always the policy, then you need to negotiate with Mexico, not with us. Needless to say, you are taking paychecks away from our armed forces. The Coast Guard is part of our armed forces. I've had family members who have been a part of the Coast Guard. It has got a proud tradition, and they do a lot of good work. And they are a military force. And so, can we all agree that regardless of whether or not the spending bill, I mean, if the Republicans themselves could not get this passed when they had control of the House and the Senate, if they couldn't do it, and by the way, in this whole idea that, well, the Democrats were filibustering, no, McConnell, the reason why McConnell wasn't about to waste getting rid of the filibuster to try to pass it out of the Senate is he already knew he had too many Republican senators that were against the wall. And so it would have failed in the Senate, and then they wouldn't even, the reason why they basically didn't even bring the bill up was because they basically, they wanted to be able to blame the Democrats. The reality is that even if they had gotten it passed, which they could have done, gotten rid of the filibuster and done that, it would have still failed and it would have been 100% on the Republicans. We don't want this damn thing. We don't want to pay for it. You sure as heck got a heck of a lot of people that are on the border who don't want to see their personal property gobbled up for this thing. And right now you have amongst 800,000 government employees not getting a paycheck. You have the Coast Guard, a military force, not getting a paycheck. Get off your high damn horse and get the government back working again. And Donnie, you've abandoned most of your campaign pledges like your first and second wife. Hey, we get it. That is just who you are, a disgusting slime ball. But because you still like going into rallies, and the only way you can get people to cheer for you is by basically putting out the racist dog whistle crap, fine. That's who you are. But you're not going to get the money for this. And so if this is the hill you've decided to die on, you're not in a hill, you're in the gutter. Just FYI. This is the gutter you decided. This is going to be the main thing that you're going to fight to the death for. Well, God forbid we do get attacked and we need a Coast Guard that we're not paying. Because generally, if we want people to guard the coast, we should be paying for that. Let alone the rest of the federal government. It is disgusting beyond disgusting that this is where we are at. But, frankly, I mean, most people don't want this shutdown. I mean, he's got, I think it was like 37% of the country wants the wall to like 48% don't want the wall. So it's most people don't want it. But even of his own supporters, about half of them don't even want this government shutdown for the wall. They'd like the wall, but don't shut down the government for it. And so now they're frantically saying Nancy Pelosi, which, by the way, currently is the House minority leader, the minority leader in the House. She's the one that stopped this whole thing. Aha! Oh, you tricky little minority leader, huh? Without a majority in the House or the Senate currently. It's all your fault. Please. Trump's, I'm sorry. It's the holidays to a point were ruined by Donald Trump. And until we get past this dark day, these dark days, you know, you just can't be positive because of so many things that are going wrong. What is it today? They're going to go after the mercury rules in coal plants because, God forbid, we stop people from inhaling mercury. You know, hey, you know, it's minty fresh. Come on. This guy is a complete joke. He's a laughingstock. And I hope and I pray that we basically investigate the living daylights out of him and then not only throw him out of office, but Pence out of office, and then hold the rest of these Republicans to, why the hell didn't you do your job as the legislative branch? You're supposed to monitor the executive branch. Until that time, all we can do is say, all my best to the Coast Guard. Hopefully this idiot in the White House realizes what you guys are doing. And, you know, please, hopefully keep your heads up and, you know, keep doing the great job that you're doing guarding our coasts, and we'll hopefully get you your paychecks before too long. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. When we come on back, good news from the DFL in Minnesota. We'll talk about that when we do return. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
This is Chad, owner of AM 950. I've been telling you about my friends at Snap Construction, who are arguably the most well-reviewed exterior construction company in the metro. Don't just take my word for it. Take a look at all their reviews online. Winter is the most cost-effective time of the year to complete your construction project. A majority of Minnesotans choose to have their work completed on their home in the summer when they should be enjoying the weather. As a result, the demand for labor in the summer is much higher. The most cost-effective way to improve or restore your home is in the winter due to the lower demand. Right now, Snap Construction is offering an additional 30% off of labor to the AM 950 listeners on your next construction project between now and the end of February. Call 612-333-SNAP and mention AM 950 for an additional 30% off. As always, Snap Construction stands by their work with a lifetime craftsmanship warranty. Don't wait to get a free estimate by calling 612-333-SNAP or find them online at snapconstruction.com. Financing options available.
Say goodbye to 2018, hello 2019 with the Park Tavern. The Park Tavern is open both New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. Finish up your holidays with a relaxing and delicious breakfast with the Park Tavern family. It's a great time to get together with friends and family for a day of fun and relaxation. And of course, the Park Tavern will have all the football games on, so no matter what your team, they'll have you covered. On Louisiana Avenue, north of Highway 7 in St. Louis Park, ring in 2019 with the Park Tavern.
Warning, stand-up records may cause intestinal distress, fits of insane laughter, instant diarrhea, existential malaise, headaches, nausea, dizziness, vomiting, seasonal affective disorder, more headaches, pneumomono ultramicroscopic silicovolcanoconiosis. Stand-up records should not be handled by women who are pregnant, may become pregnant, have ever been pregnant, or personally know anyone who has been pregnant. Do not consult your doctor if he's operating heavy machinery. Stand-up records is for external application only. And stand-up records is, of course, good for a few laughs. So remember that standuprecords.com for the world's finest comedy CDs, DVDs, and merchandise. That's standuprecords.com. The revolution will be hilarious.
Who's your most trusted companion? Who's with you 24/7? What do you never leave home without? Your phone. But the screen is shattered. Don't panic. Bring it to Computer Revolution with cell phone repair. We have over 18 years experience fixing computer devices, all brands, all carriers. We'll replace that screen and have it back same day. Computer Revolution with cell phone repair in Roseville at Highway 36 in Fairview. Or call 651-633-6600. We fix phones. Same day, 7 days a week.
See on Twitter basically putting out a good point. When you're wiping off your equipment, if you have a piece of equipment that has a seat, wipe the handlebars first and then the seat, not the other way around.
Words good to thing to keep in common.
Yeah, very much. Very much. Keep that in mind. That's actually a good point there. Good point. I get on the elliptical, so I don't have a caboose rester. So 952-946-6205. From Blue Stem Prairie, Democrats in the Minnesota House are ready to roll out their first 10 bills of the 2019 legislative session when it opens next month. Good news there. House Speaker Designate Melissa Hortman said the initial bills from the new DFL majority will mirror the Minnesota Values Plan that her caucus released in September. That plan emphasized accessible and affordable health care through a Minnesota Care buy-in option, paid sick time and family leave, education investments, and improvements in public infrastructure. Going back to that, that time, this is from a filing in 20. This is or a press release in from Liz Olson, who's the DFL majority whip. Now, or she's going to be the DFL majority whip from September 14th. And I can understand a lot of people might not have seen this because this was buried underneath about 70 requests for donations at the same time. So understandable. This came out September 14th. Today, House DFLers unveiled the Minnesota Values Plan, a continuation of the Minnesota Values Project, an initiative for the Minnesota House DFL to encourage legislators, Minnesotans, and community groups in a conversation about the future of our state. Some of the things that the plan includes are the following. Ensure all Minnesotans have access to quality, affordable health care. The DFLers will work to expand the current Minnesota Care Plan to allow anyone to buy into it as a pathway to universal health care. Good, smart plan. Once again, this is the groundwork for what you need to do. For this election, this upcoming legislative session, was basically given to you by Minnesotans. And they said they wanted health care. Well, there you go. Good first step. Make work in Minnesota pay. Guarantee the DFLers will work to guarantee every worker has a paid sick time and paid family leave. Good for you. And then put an end to wage theft by investing in improved enforcement. Violating wage theft, which includes violating minimum wage laws, failing to pay overtime, or forced off-the-clock work by employers hurts Minnesota's working families. Absolutely, it does. Absolutely, it does. And that's usually in places where you see where people don't have a lot of options when it comes to low-income jobs. And so they get taken advantage of. So absolutely. And, you know, more investigation, that's a good thing. Invest in education from cradle to career. House DFLers will work to increase funding for community-based childcare options and expand access to public universal pre-K for all Minnesota children. Ensure every Minnesotan has the affordable access to job training or higher education they need to thrive. Well, good for them. Once again, Dayton will forever be known as the education president, or president, governor, education governor. He's been a phenomenal governor for education. And reminder, he took over a state. When he took over, he was dealing with Tim Pawlenty's shifting of the education budget into a future fiscal cycle just because he didn't have the money to pay for it. I mean, if Tim Pawlenty was the anti-education governor, I mean, he clearly was. You don't just tell every school district in the state, hey, we're not going to give you the money we promised you, and then say, well, I was good for education. Come on, you were horrible for education. But on the same time, Dayton was brilliant, and he really left a legacy there. They want to continue with that, and I think that's a good idea. I especially like the community-based childcare options to expand access to lower-income families. That is something I've been reading about. Some out in rural communities and outstate cities, they have had very good success with local community daycares. And there was one I was reading about, just a phenomenal story, where they have a lot of elderly women in town that, you know, looking for things to do. So they basically started a community daycare, and it's been a roaring success. The women have had a great time with it. The families are being able to get a lower income option that doesn't basically drain their bank accounts. That's a good thing. I think that's a very solid endeavor. Absolutely. Strength in Minnesota's key infrastructure. These are just some of the things that you'll see in this. In this plan, the long-term robust investments in transportation, broadband, and clean energy, creating good Minnesota jobs. DFLers are going to work for those. Can I just say this? Broadband. All right. I know I'm a broken record on this, but what did I hear over and over from every DFLer who is running in rural Minnesota, especially in some of these districts where they have a lot of area. And once again, it's great to expect the private sector to do it. But when the private sector clearly is not going to put forward the time and the effort to expand out broadband to all corners of the state, and they're not going to, because they're trying to make a profit, and so henceforth for them to run a, you know, broadband line up to Crane Lake is not going to be cost effective for them. But we still want, we want businesses to be in Crane Lake and in Ely and in Moorhead and down in you know, Austin. We want these communities to have business growth opportunities. You want to have small towns to have the ability to bring in businesses. Maybe, you know, they're not going to bring in the biggest businesses, but bring in a 50-person employer, that's a big deal for a community like this. Well, make sure that they can actually take orders over the internet and be able to send out their product via the internet. God forbid they are able to restock their inventory via the internet in these communities. If you go on out there and yeah, I am saying the state should go out there and build these this broadband expansion and then charge these private companies for access into those communities. And then we can get paid back on it. If we were to do that, I guarantee you that outstate Minnesota, there will be a shocking amount of seats that will flip to the Democrats. A shocking amount of seats. People at districts that there's, you would say to yourself, 6 years ago, there's no way in the world they'll ever vote Democrat. It will be a shoo-in for the DFL. Because this is, you know, when you talk, it comes to issues delivering to these outstate communities, it's healthcare, it's broadband. It's healthcare, it's broadband. It's healthcare, it's broadband. And if you really want to do something, deliver those two issues. And if you have the Republicans in the Senate being what's holding you up, well, then let that be their record and take them out in 2020 and then do this correctly. But for goodness sakes, you're not going to be, right now, I know Kurt Doubt's over there trying to find any moderate Democrat he can to try to create a blue dog caucus to where that they can work together and try to force Melissa Hortman's hand. No, stay together, expand the health care, and expand out broadband. You get those two things done. And then transportation is not the worst idea either. But you take care of those two specifically, DFL won't lose this state for 10 years. Will not lose this state for 10 years. Just got it. You have to deliver. You have to deliver. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Yay, you survived the holidays. Now what about cleaning up that holiday mess? My friends, it's time you learn my holiday hangover secret. It's Zero Res. Fortunately for you, right now is the best time of the year to call Zero Res. Get three rooms clean starting at just $119. And this month only, get a hallway clean for free with their three-room special. Call 952-ZERO-RES or book online anytime at ZeroResMinnesota.com. Spell it backward or forward. It spells the same. Zero Res.
It's the best time of the year. Toyota-thon is on. Rudy Luther Toyota has the 2019 models in stock, and to make room, the 2018s have to go. There are huge incentives from Toyota, and on top of that, Rudy Luther has additional huge discounts. And remember, you get my favorite perk from Rudy Luther, the Luther Advantage Card, which gets you 10 cents off per gallon at holiday station stores for 3 years with every vehicle purchase. Rudy Luther Toyota-thon is on. Stop in today. The southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Are you in charge of the company gifts? Looking for a great work party gift or maybe just something nice for yourself? Hi, this is Richard Piepenberg with Vinaigrette, and we're ready for you. We package, gift wrap, and even deliver the finest oils and vinegars so you can simply enjoy the holidays. Since 2009, our family-owned and operated store has specialized in everything vinaigrette. Come in to Tap, Taste, and Treasure, 50th and Xerxes in Minneapolis, and in downtown Excelsior at 287 Water Street. Online at vinaigrettemn.com.
It's the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. EatLocalMinnesota.com, Restaurant of the Week, is all of them. That's right. You have got your option to go to all of these restaurants that we have there. Just go to EatLocalMinnesota.com. Great local restaurants, many of them locally sourced. You get a great local meal, and the money stays local. It's EatLocalMinnesota.com, 952-946-6205. Ask Dan Sweeney where to wrap up the night in the town of Anoka. Then he'll open the door to Dano's, the bar he owns, with a red awning on the city's historic downtown. More than anyone, our bar is the end of the night bar. Okay. Alas, Kyle now will come an hour earlier at Dano's, along with other local hotspots that will have to who have had the city's permission to sell liquor until 2 a.m. Starting January 1st, the city will stop issuing late closing permits. That means the five Anoka bars that pour drinks into that extra hour, four of them downtown, will do so for the last time on New Year's Eve. The liquor sales change coincides with a broader effort in Anoka to take a closer look at the downtown entertainment district, with officials dreaming up ways to bolster visitor numbers. More live music in the summer, food trucks, and sidewalk seating. We want to continue to create a atmosphere that brings people into downtown. All right. We're coming to situations that are unpleasant for the downtown and for the image of Anoka. Okay, wait a minute here. That story took a pretty sharp turn. Okay, so their argument is that we're not going to have late opening bars because we want to, you know, more family-friendly stuff, more music, more stuff like that. Okay. But then all of a sudden, like I said, it takes a turn. We're coming into situations that are unpleasant for the downtown and for the image of Anoka. Police and city officials say a recent sting of brawls around closing time partly fueled their decision to nix the 2 a.m. license. Much of the trouble has cropped up near the on-street parking ramp downtown, and rowdy behavior in the area often flares from 1 till 3:30 a.m., according to police. In June, police confiscated a gun after a fight broke out on East Main Street. In early August, authorities had said several men in biker jackets beat up a man near Courtside Bar and Grill on Jackson Street. A few weeks later, fighting erupted in the downtown ramp, engulfing about 40 people in a melee of shoving and punching. The police department really noticed an uptick. Did they? Did they in Anoka? Just a smidge? Dear Lord, said Captain Andy Youngquist. Some bar owners are worried about what an hour less of late night business will mean to them. Less blood stains? A clean conscience? God. Part of the draw here is that it's 2 a.m. neighborhood on the weekend, Sweeney said. I don't want to get known as a 1 a.m. city and possibly lose business just off the bat. He added, I don't know how I don't lose 20%. Okay, wait a minute here. All right, well, first of all, I want to stop and unload this, because the first thing that crosses my mind when I read this story is, how in the heck haven't we heard about this in Anoka before now? Because I guarantee you this, if this was African Americans at a bar in Minneapolis, we would have full team coverage. Mugshots in the paper. Another fight at this bar. Here are your suspects. Look at them. They're black. That's what would happen if these fights were happening at an African American, with African Americans participating in the attacks in a predominantly African American part of town. I guarantee you that. And once again, all their mugshots would be featured prominently, probably above the fold on the newspapers. Team coverage again tonight. Another fight at another Minneapolis bar. But it's Anoka. And you haven't heard anything about this. This is really kind of odd. Now, Anoka, just for the record, there's no way in hell I'm coming drinking in your town. Dear God. What kind of pit you guys running up there? But let me just take a, I'm going to just take a guess here. Just a speculation. Most of the people involved in these fights are white. I'm just going to call that out, just that. And that's probably why we haven't heard of a recurring brawling problem in the city of Anoka, where bars are out and it's fight time. Fight night in Anoka. Anoka. I don't like how you say Anoka. We're going to fight now. Really? Guns, biker gangs, and yet, funny, we haven't heard anything about this. But if it was a group of African American men fighting, I guarantee another problem for this bar.
Yeah, I remember you heard nonstop news about Aqua, the club in Minneapolis.
Oh, yeah. Of course. One of many in a long history of nightclubs and institutions that had a predominant African-American patronage, and whenever a fight happened there, oh no, here we are, live coverage, another fight. A 40-person rumble happens at the parking garage in Anoka, and no one decided this was a newsworthy story? Come on, guys. Media in Minneapolis, your motivations are showing. Let's just put it that way. But I want to get back to this. I don't know. I don't know how I don't lose 20% of your business. Wait, stop. What? Done. All right. I'm going to presume your bar for the evening, let's just say, opens at 7. All right. Probably a light crowd till about 9, but things start picking up, right? So, and really, your meat and potatoes time for selling, you know, booze is probably from 9 to midnight. That's going to be it. But then you stay up a little later because some people want to stay out a little bit later out and have a few drinks. And it starts to trickle down. And then, of course, you get that one rush at close, but that's it. You're telling me that a fifth of your business is from 1 a.m. to 2 p.m., 2 a.m.? 1 hour in the middle of the freaking night? What are you doing, pouring drinks down these guys' gullets? My guess would be the reason why the crowd is rumbling out in the streets of Anoka is that you're pouring drinks, and this is your own admission. If 20% of your business is in 1 hour, the last hour you're open, what are you just passing around bottles of Jack and telling them to chug? There's your problem. Is that you're supposed to have responsible bar ownership. And if this person is saying, by his own admission, 20% of his sales happens between 1 a.m. and 2 a.m., well, the reason why these people are out in the street beating the living daylights out of each other in Anoka is because they're drunk off their cabooses. That's why. And they're drunk off their cabooses because they're apparently ordering 16 shots at 145 and knocking them all back because that's 20% of his business for the night. Come on. I have a real big problem with this. I understand. People just want to have fun. Yeah, but beating the living daylights out of people, that's not a lot of fun. Well, if you're the person who's beating on someone and that's fun for you, you're a sick, twisted individual. If you're the person getting beaten up and that's fun for you, you're kind of a sick, twisted individual, too. But I'm going to guess it's not as much fun for the guy on the ground getting pummeled by, you know, what, 4 or 5 bikers in Anoka? Dear Lord, Anoka. What the hell, Anoka, man? What in the world? And how did we not hear about this already? You know, how did the Thunderdome break out in Anoka and we haven't heard about it? Oh, that's right. It's all white people. It's likely all white people. It's a loaf of Wonder Bread spilled on the streets of Anoka. There it is. That's why we haven't heard about it. All right. God. A gun. There was a gun involved here at one of these things. Nope. Nothing to see here. Nothing to see here at all. Oh, God. It costs at least $60,000 a year to assign officers to downtown on Friday, Saturday nights to ward off trouble and rain and unruly behavior. It's an expensive venture, Youngquist said. Safety concerns, Anoka began allowing bar owners to sell liquor from 1 a.m. to 2 in 2007. That same year, police started assigning officers to the downtown entertainment district to quell crime and bad behavior. Despite the added security, concerns about safety have persisted. City officials said it has not always been as orderly and kind as we'd prefer. Really? Really? Let's see here. Hey, we got an hour left. Everyone, guzzle the booze, and out you go. What could possibly go wrong? Wow. Now my customers will leave and then go and go to them. I'm competing with Coon Rapids, said Jesse Voss, who runs Misfit Saloon on the outskirts of Anoka. Can't make this up. Now my customers will leave and go to Coon Rapids. City leaders said they hope to bring in more family-oriented events in Anoka. Won't people think about the fine, fine individuals who are at Misfit Saloon on the outskirts of Anoka, as opposed to those bastards in Coon Rapids? who keep taking our business.
Yeah, it's like a comedy skit.
This has to just be a bunch of white people. It just has to all be, all these people fighting have to be drunk white guys. Because, and like I said, and shame on the media for allowing this to fester as long as it has. And you guys haven't reported on this. This is Star Tribune had this one finally. But guns being confiscated, bikers running the streets, brawls, 40-man brawls in parking ramps in Anoka. This isn't outside of a Vikes game downtown Minneapolis. This is down the warehouse district. This is Anoka. Dear Lord, Jeff is in Minneapolis. Let's bring Jeff on in here. Welcome on in, Jeff.
Hey, Matt. Just want to wish you an early Happy New Year.
Thank you, sir.
And maybe this will be a prelude for the state to get out of the Puritan era that it's been in. And I'd just like to make a comment on that Star and Trib article about the drunken rowdiness up in Anoka. This may be a great time to legalize recreational marijuana in the state. I've never met a marijuana smoker that's violent and drunk, as the late, great Robin Williams once said. But, you know, alcohol costs us a lot of money in the economy, not only for the disease of alcoholism, but also just for the accidents and whatnot. And I think this would be a great, great step to legalize marijuana in the state of Minnesota, and I just wanted to get your 2 cents on that.
Well, first of all, I think these are two completely, and Jeff, thank you very much. I agree wholeheartedly with the legalization of marijuana. I mean, you have how many states has this happened in? And once again, all the anti-marijuana people kept insisting, you know, that, you know, hellfire was going to rain upon earth when we legalized marijuana. That never did happen. And not only that, states are making a ton of money off this. And there haven't been a massive increase in car crashes and train crashes and plane crashes. And nothing like that's happened. Nothing like that has happened. So I believe wholeheartedly marijuana should be legalized in Minnesota, and I think that we need to move past that. That's not this. This is something else. This is just a community who, you know, and I guess the question is this, is this really the message that you want? Hey, come on out to Anoka and fight, fight, fight. Drink, 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 fight, fight, fight. Drink, 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 fight, fight, fight. Because I tell you what, there's no way in hell I'm going to Anoka anytime soon. Because, I mean, this is, and your own businesses are like, yeah, we got to keep this going. Well, so a few, you know, fights in the streets, what's the big deal? Trust me, there are plenty of communities that I could go to where there's not going to be an open brawl in the street every night or once a week because, apparently, by the sounds of your 20% comment, your last hour is your busiest hour of the night with people chugging booze. This is on Anoka. This is just a massive black eye. It's also, once again, I want to make sure I point out, this is a massive black eye for the media of this town. How in the hell does this not get covered? When, if this was African Americans, I guarantee you every single one of these incidents would have, you know, top multiple days worth of coverage, and the questions of community leaders want to shut down these bars. How come they're not shutting down these bars and shutting down these nightclubs? That's what happens when you have a club that caters to the African American community. There's a fight there. There's always that story, isn't it? Why are these clubs being allowed to stay open? There should be more pressure on closing these clubs. These clubs, come on! What's a stabbing or two, kids? God. This is you guys are making a mess out of this stuff. But once again, let's just be honest. If this was African American people, this would be a far bigger story. And it's not, and it's just kind of disturbing that this has gone on and has gotten as bad as it is and no one has said anything about it. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Is the phone number. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
Tom Hartman here telling you that solar energy isn't just for environmentalists. Switching to all energy solar is actually perfect for reducing your carbon footprint while also saving money on your monthly electric bill. The fact that solar panels cause no earth-harming emissions while it's producing energy is a bonus. Who in the world could object to that? But they can also help you save money month after month for decades. And they do it with a clean footprint. So go green and start saving money today by visiting allenergysolar.com.
Toyota-thon is on. Head to Rudy Luther Toyota and check out the great deals. Rudy Luther has huge model year-end incentives, but it's the continued service which will make you a loyal Luther customer. Get 2 years maintenance free with every new Toyota purchased, performed in one of the largest volume service departments in the country. They'll never sell you service you don't need. Plus, the Luther Advantage card gets you great discounts at holiday. Go to RudyLutherToyota.com for all the Toyota-thon deals. Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Hi, I'm Dr. Scott Chambliot from Chambliot Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, get-you-out-of-pain-now dental office.
And I'm Rachel Chambliot. Did you know a lot of people are afraid of the dentist? You don't need to be afraid of my dad. He makes going to the dentist comfortable and even fun.
We don't care if you're a dental regular or haven't seen a dentist in years. We just want to make you comfortable and get you out of pain.
If you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get. Call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH or visit fixmyteeth.us.
Hi, this is Ken Hagland, host of the Minnesota Hospice and Healthcare Show, your source for elder care and caregiver solutions, inviting you to listen to our live call-in show airing on Saturdays from noon to 1. Each week, we provide answers to important questions regarding elder care and caregiver issues to help you and your loved ones plan for the future and enjoy your best quality of life. Please join us this Saturday from noon to 1 for the Minnesota Hospice and Healthcare Show and learn more about us at minnesotahospice.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. By the way, Tony and Egan saying, Egan is a fine place. I haven't seen a fight there. Well, let's head to Egan. Well, see, our options are to go get pummeled at some bar in Anoka or go down to Egan. I think I'll go with Egan.
Yeah, did they have a Misfits there?
I don't. Come on out to Tazbags. Tazbags for all your drinking fun. You know, you might want to check the name of your place before you get quoted in the article, okay? The gutter. We're drinking down here at the gutter tonight. I don't know why people have such a bad opinion of the gutter, huh? Why is that? The vomit stain.
The Black Eyes are a great family restaurant.
The Black Eyes? The Blackouts. That's come to Blackout Drunks. You won't remember what happens here, but you know, well, yeah, you won't. You won't remember it all. We'll eventually get you home safely, maybe, possibly. And look out and enjoy Thursday night. It's fight night, kids. Oh, speaking of fight night, Wisconsin. of course, we've talked about Foxconn. City Pages has an exceptional article on this. Your initial taxpayer, every person in Wisconsin is going to have to pay $1,800. Foxconn promised to create some 13,000 jobs. That estimate has been continually pared down. The deal was just finished, now falling to the range of 3,000 to 10,000 jobs. So once again, the thing they agreed to when they got this taxing was 13,000 jobs. They're now down to as low as 3,000 jobs with no guarantees. Workers' average pay will be about $50,000 annually, but those paychecks will be funded by Wisconsin taxpayers for years to come. The Wisconsin Budget Project estimates that at the very least, taxpayers will be covering the first 4 years of wages for every employee. On the high end, the subsidies could run as much as $587,000 per job for the first 10 years. Basically, they're paying for 10 years for this company to hire people for 10 years. And since Foxconn can close the plant in as little as 10 years, there's very little chance that taxpayers will be funding an empty, or there is a real chance that taxpayers will be funding a completely empty factory for decades to come. None of this factors in the additional millions for pollution cleanup. Foxconn has been repeatedly accused of dumping toxic metals into waterways near its other plants. And before he's resigned in disgrace, Trump's EPA chief, Scott Pruitt, exempted the Wisconsin facility from federal limits on air emissions. On the day it opens, it's expected to immediately become the state's largest polluter. But the most glaring blunder was the reveal last week. Wisconsin residents could end up bankrolling employees who don't even work in Wisconsin. That's a recent finding of the Fiscal Bureau, a nonpartisan arm of the state legislature. It discovered that taxpayers would be on the hook for funding Foxconn employees in other states as long as their paychecks are run through the Wisconsin plant. Republican lawmakers seem to sense that they've created an exploding cigar. Earlier this month, before the new Democratic governor, Tony Evers, takes office, they passed a bill ensuring that residents will be kept from knowing exactly where their money is going. That's right. The Wisconsin Republicans, once they realized it was a mistake, didn't hold Foxconn accountable, basically said, we don't want to know how much of our money is going to fund jobs in other states. Wisconsin Republicans. The other final story I wanted to make sure I mentioned today is this story that was in the Star Tribune the other day. This god-awful Broadmoor Valley Mobile Home Park in Marshall, Minnesota. That is, it is a shanty town by the sounds of it. And the guy that owns it is, you know, for a lack of a better way to say it, he basically is saying, you know, if you complain about the conditions, which include no water, open, you know, broken windows, impassable roads, that you'll be thrown out. Broadmoor Valley managers and owners say that they are trying to improve Marshall's Lone Trailer Park, which provides affordable housing in a city where it's scarce. Roughly 7 in 10 residents living in the park are Hispanic, along with a few families. Paul Sheerholtz of Colorado Springs, Colorado, over to the park, says he fixes dilapidated homes as quickly as he can, and he's looking for ways to repair the road. He warns that residents must obey the park's rules, though, or face the consequences. We're just trying to provide reasonable, affordable housing, he said. Health and safety hazards that the residents have had go back for years. Broken windows, frozen burst pipes, electrical shorts that send sparks flying from light fixtures. The owner had, when people complained about it, the owner had directed the on-site manager to evict people. And by the way, can I just say this? Marshall, you could fix this problem. Marshall, Minnesota is acting as if, well, it's a private property. They're renting to residents. Are you not collecting taxpayer dollars from those residents? Yes, you are. Well, then it's a, you need to go in there and manage this. Because this guy is, you know, this is a slumlord. This is a slumlord by all accounts. Reading the story, it sure sounds like it. And if anyone stares, speak out against this, the atrocious conditions, third world conditions in Marshall, Minnesota, with this mobile home park, then the guy basically takes it out on them for daring to want working pipes and working electricity and working heat. I mean, it's so bad there. The roads are so bad. School buses can't go in there. And garbage trucks are now basically going to be exempt from it. A garbage truck can't go in there. That's how bad the roads are. Marshall, you could fix this. You could fix this tomorrow. If you guys don't fix this, then you're basically condoning it. You do have a responsibility to stand up for your residents, especially the residents that don't have a strong voice within your community. You're supposed to be there for them, not just shrug your shoulders and say, well, it's private property. What are we supposed to do? I'll post that story. You should read it and pass that one out along to anyone you know. Have a great New Year's. Back with live shows again next Thursday. Pageants and next. Till Thursday. See ya.